As I was preparing this series on the way of the cross, I was pairing up various banners because there are far more banners than there are Sundays in Lent. And today I want to focus on the second of our banners, on Jesus is stripped of his raiment. So I want to begin with the initial focus before I launch into my primary sermon today, with the first banner that we're going to look at today, Jesus consoles the women. That's not the one that's up there. That's Jesus falls the third time. Do we have the other? No, we don't? Okay, then take that off. Jesus consoles the women. That's number eight on the banner sequence. Jesus consoles the women. And the scripture for this is from Luke. Luke 23, verse 27, actually begins at 27, continues a short distance. A great number of the people followed Jesus, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountain, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Jesus said these words to the women who were following him and were extremely distressed with the fact that here is the Messiah on his way to the cross, not what you would expect a Messiah to do. And Jesus turns to them, and instead of focusing on his own pain and on his own problem and on the fact that he'd just fallen, instead he focuses on their need both right then and there, and also on what would come to pass. "Don't weep for me," he tells them, "but weep for yourselves. Weep for those women who will never be mothers, those children who will not know their parents, those who have no future, because the end of the world has come and they are not ready. Weep for them when that day comes." And then he quotes a passage of scripture from the Old Testament that the book of Revelation also quotes. That the mountains, they will call and they will weep for the mountains to fall on them and bury them. So the eighth step on the way of the cross, Jesus turns and shows compassion to those who are mourning for his coming death. In essence, he is speaking to you and me. Don't mourn for me. Mourn for those who do not yet know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Do not mourn for me. Mourn for the lost. Mourn for them. For their time is almost up. So that's step eight on the way of the cross. But today, the focus of the message will be on step 10. Jesus is stripped of his garments. And we got that one right. Jesus is stripped of his garments. Passage for this is in John. Actually, there are several choices that could be made, but specifically John 19, verses 23 through 25, which was read beautifully today by Billy. John 19, 23 through 25. I'm going to read part of that again. "When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, 'Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it. This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, they divided my clothes amongst themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. And this is what the soldiers did. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Today I have 2 points that I want to lift out of this passage and out of the illustration in the banner. 2 points. The first point is that the truth is stripped of all outer adornment. And the second point I want to make is that this naked truth strips us. Point one. Been watching the war news, watching too much of the war news lately. It's not a good thing to be doing. I spent most of the week during the day in jury duty. Ugh. You know, I've been going, I called about every 9 months, it seems, and I go in, I wear my clergy duds, and I go in, and the first, when they get to me, they try to find reasons that I should be automatically stricken, removed from the list in the voir dire. And this time they came to me and they asked me all sorts of questions. They asked me, does your identity as a minister of the gospel affect your judgment in this case or in any other case? And my answer was, I fail to see how my identity could have anything but an effect on my judgment. Well, but that doesn't count because that's true for everybody. But the judge chimed in on that one. Hypothetically, and then the prosecution objected. The prosecution wanted me, I discovered as the questioning went on. The defense did not. Unfortunately, they had too many weirdos ahead of me to justify getting rid of this weirdo here. And so when they got to the late M's, I knew I was in trouble. And sure enough, they called my name. I'd stand up and go and sit in the jury box. I'd never served on a jury before, believe it or not. I'd always managed to get out of it. You know, they ask you, what do you think the penalty for back talk to parents should be? Hang him! Now, that'll get you off the jury real quick. Hang him! What do you think illegal right turns from the middle lane should be? Hang him! What do you think should be the penalty for picking your nose in public? Hang him! That'll get you off a jury really quick. This time it didn't work. And I had to sit on a jury for most of the week. And I'm going to tell you, that was absolutely the most boring time I've ever spent. Almost, not quite. As a result, I'd get there early in the morning, we'd go through the jury day, I didn't hear a word of what was going on in the news, so when I would come home, I'd plant myself down in my wingback chair in front of my television set with my bowl of popcorn and a Coke Cola, and I'd sit there and I'd watch the war news like it were a movie. Absolutely sick, absolutely disgusting, and yet I was starved for the news. Every day I would drive home praying, oh Lord, please let them have caught Saddam Hussein. Let it be over. Oh Lord, please, let it be over. Let no more soldiers be killed. Oh Lord, please. And I'd go home and I'd sit down and I'd watch the news and be horrified. And I couldn't break away. It was difficult to break away. Well, I was fascinated. This gets to the point of my message, point one. I was fascinated at how I would listen to multiple different stations. I would listen to, I have a dish, and so I would pull in and listen to BBC and listen to their coverage for a little while. And then I turn over to CNN and listen to their coverage for a little while. Then I turn over to Fox News and listen to their coverage for a little while. Then I go to ABC and listen to theirs, and to CBS and listen to theirs, and NBC and listen to theirs. Then back to BBC. I listened to all, you know, as many different channels as I could, sitting there in front of the television set. And if there wasn't a, if there was a commercial on one, I changed to another. If there was not a battle going on one, I changed to another. And I was amazed at the spin that was being placed on the message, the story, the event. One channel was dead certain that the Americans had targeted for destruction 58 Iraqis in a mall, in a shopping center. You turn the channel, and the other channel said, no, it's an Iraqi anti-ballistic missile. And both of them were saying they were 100% correct. And they were both basing their arguments on the same basic collection of information. Each one spinned it a different way, and I love that modern term, spin. The idea that if you take a bunch of information and you adjust it, you shake it up, you spin it, you can get the point of view, the idea, and the conclusion that you want. Doesn't matter what the truth is, doesn't matter what the details are, doesn't matter what the story actually is, doesn't matter what the facts are. Spin it the way you want it, and you get the story you want. And I was amazed at the various versions of the truth that I saw on the news. Spinning the news, spinning the truth, adorning the truth, changing and modifying and amplifying one point and ignoring another, or phrasing words a certain way to make them mean something different, or trying to put your words into the mouth of another, spinning, adjusting, changing, if you will, the truth and the facts. I was reminded of Sergeant Friday and his Offrey. I remember this from my days watching Dragnet on TV. Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. They don't care about the facts anymore. It's the spin. That's the issue. The spin, that's the idea. The spin, that's in focus. In other words, the truth doesn't mean anything anymore. The truth is meaningless. The spin is all that matters. The message today and the banner and the 10th step on the way of the cross is that Jesus' garments were removed from him. He was stripped of his garments. And our artwork makes things nice and sanitized. Jesus was stripped naked. People were crucified naked on the crosses, friends. And most artwork doesn't depict it that way. The simple fact is, he was stripped of his clothing. He was stripped of all covering. He was stripped of all padding. He was stripped of anything that would hide his modesty. He was stripped of anything that could be used to protect him from the cold and the wind and the rain. He was stripped of anything that would hide the stripes on his back or the bruises on his side. He was stripped of every little bit of clothing, every little bit of cover that would make him look maybe a little bit better. He was stripped of, so that the whole world could see the bruising, the whipping, the horrible damage that had been done by the soldiers to his body. The truth, the Word of God in human flesh, fully human and fully God, the truth was stripped of all spin at Golgotha. The truth of all eternity, the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of God incarnate in human flesh, the truth of our salvation was stripped of all padding, all covering, and all spin at Golgotha. And the truth is this, that this is the Son of God come to take our place on the cross, to take our place in penalty for sin. Point number one, the truth was stripped naked so that we could see the bruising. We could see the damage that we in our sins have done. The truth was stripped naked so that we and the world could see the horrible penalty for sin. There is no way to pad and make comfortable the story of the crucifixion and death of Jesus. There's simply no way to do it. You can't sanitize it. You can't launder it. You can't make it nice and clean and antiseptic. It is hard, painful, dirty, but true. Jesus actually died for our sins. He died in our place. That's point number one. Point number two is that this naked truth strips us. The truth, when we see it, recognize it, and accept it, strips us of all adornment, softening, excuse, and spin. The truth strips us from the ability to spin our sin. We want to make our sin into not sin. We want to say, oh, it's not really a sin for me not to forgive. It's not really a sin for me to be angry at her. It's not really a sin for me to shout at people while I'm driving on 635 trying to get home. It's not really a sin for me to do this or that or the other. No, it's not really a sin for me to want to have sex with her. That's the spin we try to put on our living and claim that our sinning is not sinning. And the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of the message of the cross, the truth of the stripped naked Jesus Christ, the truth of God is this, that we are naked and completely without excuse and unable to spin our sin into not sin. The stripped naked truth of Jesus on the cross and the damage we have done to Him in our sins makes it impossible for us to twist and spin and pad and make excuse to claim that our sin is not sin. The tenth step on the way to the cross is to recognize that as Jesus, the truth of God, was stripped naked for all the world to see, the effect of our sin on Him and the penalty that He bore on our account, so also, because of that, we are stripped naked and made completely without excuse. We depend entirely upon God and upon Him. He who was stripped naked for us and nailed up for us and died for us and was put in the tomb for us, we have no excuse and are called to turn to Him and ask for forgiveness. The tenth step on the way to the cross is to recognize that Jesus was stripped bare. We, too, are stripped bare. We have no excuse for our sin. We have no excuse for failing to do the will of God. He who did the will of God and had no sin was stripped bare and took upon Himself the penalty that we deserve. We now are stripped bare and have no excuse for our sin. And all we can do is turn to Him and ask for forgiveness. My sisters and brothers, in this Lenten season, as we continue on our way, with just another couple of Sundays to go, as we continue on our way up Golgotha's hill to where Jesus is crucified. As we continue on this journey, let us recognize that we are called to bear his cross, help him, help each other. Recognize that he speaks to us a word of peace and hope and warning, and that his being stripped bare and the revelation that that is for the whole world of the damage and horrific nature of our sin laid on his back strips us bare too. If we are honest, and if we look at ourselves with honest eyes, we will see. We may want to spin it into a pretty good image, but in truth, we are without excuse. Let the gospel, let the truth of Jesus Christ strip you bare this Lenten season. Let the truth of Jesus Christ, his love, his power, his grace, his peace, strip you bare so that you may see the truth that we cannot spin our way out of our sin. Let us all open ourselves to God's grace and let the truth strip us bare and so that we may accept his forgiveness from his cross. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.